Charlotte Soccer Show. He's Danny Brams.
And I am John Hayes. It's a special MLS playoffs edition of the show. It's a pleasure to see you. And Danny Brams, we're drinking some wine tonight on the show to celebrate Charlotte FC finishing top five in the East. What do you have there?
It's the Vino Casino, Johnny. Thank you. Welcome. We are live all over the internet for thousands and billions of viewers. I can't quite get this label to show off, but it's a Malbec. You know, anybody that knows me knows I love Malbec. I love an Argentinian Malbec. And shout out to my girlfriend who's on vacation in Argentina right now. I'm drinking this in honor of her, although I would be drinking it anyway, let's be honest.
Can you believe it's a top five finish?
Would you believe it? Would you believe it?
I think if you went to Charlotte FC's social pages this week on Instagram, you saw some call outs, right? They called out all the experts who had Charlotte FC finishing 12th and 13th and 14th in the East.
Afterthoughts, Johnny. Charlotte FC was afterthoughts in the preseason predictions, and nobody knew. You know why they didn't know in time. They hadn't been gotten familiar with a simple fact that we were aware of ever since the days of Coachella, Johnny. And that fact is the Dino's at the wheel. You know, it was always going to happen. Like, we knew Dino was at the wheel from the very beginning, and it was never a mystery to us. I think you especially saw something early on in the preseason of just like, back when Scott Arfield was on the team talking about the very English preseason, the commentary Westwood made, and just knowing, you know, you're up close and familiar. You were very familiar with Dean Smith's work as a championship fan, as a Premier League fan, knowing what he did to play in the world's richest game and get Aston Villa up to the Premier League, where they've now they're in the Champions League a few years later. Like, and you, I think you identified very early on amongst, you know, I'm not saying you were the only one. There were people in this fan base that knew, but clearly the rest of MLS punditry, if you will, didn't know what Dean was bringing to the table.
It's really fun to look back at the beginning of the season, Danny, February, January, December. It feels so long ago.
Well, it was.
As we sit here in October, and we celebrate the fact that Charlotte FC finishes top five in the East. It's a clear step forward for this club. And the best part, and I think the most exciting part for me, is as I'm realizing that Charlotte FC is secured its playoff berth, when we walk out of the stadium after another win, all of a sudden I realize that that's back-to-back seasons that Charlotte FC has played in the postseason. Yeah. And for a club that's only 3 years old, that's how you start to lay a foundation. And I start to think, Danny, that this club all of a sudden has what I would like to call some solid footing.
Maybe even a little juice, if you will. You know, you get your footing, then you get the juice. I want to say I can't go back on something that I said, I think, on the most recent episode or a recent episode, which is the standard is still what Atlanta and LAFC did as far as winning MLS Cup within their first couple years of existence. I'm glad to be in back-to-back postseason appearances for Charlotte, but we still have fallen short, I think, of what other clubs have been able to do in their first few seasons. That having been said, Atlanta right now backdoored their way into this 2024 postseason. They've fallen far from the great heights that they had achieved, you know, back in 2018, 2019. They're no longer one of those vaunted great clubs. Their attendance is way down. They're playing, while we're doing this show live here tonight on For the Crown Baby, Charlotte Soccer Show YouTube, Atlanta's playing right now. We have so just little disregard, you know, so little regard, I should say, for Atlanta, that we're going to just go live opposite. We're going to counter-program their postseason match where they're in Montreal in a do-or-die situation. So I guess what I would say is, even though we have not matched what Atlanta and LAFC were able to do in their first couple of years, and I wish that we had been, I wish that we were even better than we are, I will say that Charlotte FC has a chance for sustained success. You talk about footing, Johnny, and that's going to be more important. Like, I would rather make the playoffs. I mean, trophies are trophies. I can't say I'd rather do something than make MLS Cup at final and win it, But at the same time, I would not want to be where Atlanta is here 5 years later. I want our club, Charlotte FC, to be consistent winning culture that has in the playoffs for 10 years in a row, things like that. That's what I'm. What will really be a sign of success for this club.
That's why it was so important to make it in back-to-back seasons now in year two and year three, because you've picked up some momentum and you can look towards the future and say that this club does have a winning culture and that culture needs to show up in the first round against Orlando. It's a fun matchup, and I think I'm just going to highlight the number one reason for me why it's fun is because you've got the Bear, Junior Urso, somebody who has played such a key role for yeah. Charlotte FC, and his history with Orlando, Danny. That to me is really interesting as we enter this matchup for sure. I think it's an appropriate matchup. I think that if you would have said before the season it's going to be Charlotte versus Orlando in the 4-5 game, I'd be like, feels right. Feels
right. Like, yeah, exactly.
And feels like a winnable series. Whether you're the 4 or the 5, I think either club could win on the road. And I think Charlotte FC has a distinct advantage in a Friday night match uptown at the Fortress.
Yeah, and it's going to be funny to know. Like, we won't know until the first match played on a Sunday, right? The Sunday before, this upcoming Sunday. We won't really know what the stakes of that match are. It could either be one of two things. It could be a win and move on. Certainly, it could be a win in advance. And like, hey,
yeah, euphoric evening.
We're filling the fortress. If we win the first game in Orlando, it'll be an attempt to close out the series at home. If we lose the first match in Orlando, then it'll be like, okay, then you're razor's edge. Like, you got to win to stay alive, survive and like to get to a game three. So there's a lot going on. I love the dynamic of Junior Urso facing his former club. Will he roar?
I wouldn't have cared about this storyline 2 months ago. I wouldn't have cared about it 6 months ago. I never would have cared about it until the last month when Dean Smith made a tactical move to insert Urso into the lineup, move Bronny Bro into basically a forward position, a pressing false nine.
Tip of the spear, baby. Yeah.
It's a chance for Urso to face his former club as Charlotte FC has this new tactical setup that has really, really worked for the club. And in my mind, Dean Smith's going to utilize that success and play those same tactics on Sunday in Orlando. Do you expect him to change it up?
No, I think it'll be the same starting lineup that we've been used to seeing. I know Swiderski and Abada started from the bench in the final game at DC on decision day because they had both played two matches each in that international window, and it was not a must-win game. It was not really – like, I think it was appropriate for them to start as subs, and then they came in and combined for a goal. So we got the best of all worlds.
Right. And to be clear
– and they got some good reps.
I'm not saying that – he's going to keep the lineup the same as it was this past weekend against DC. That's not what I'm saying. What I mean is the tactical plan, the 4-4-2.
100%. Yeah. I think that even with a slightly different lineup against DC, I think it was the same tactical plan. It was just Vargas and Pat in there instead of Swiderski and Abada. And now whether it's Vargas, I still think Swiderski and Abada come back in, but I think it's that same lineup, that same Urso, Bronico, Westwood midfield. And I think the switch to Urso into the starting lineup, granted he was battling some nagging injuries throughout the year. He wasn't always healthy, so it couldn't have happened necessarily sooner. But it was about a month or so ago, John, and it was ironically enough or coincidentally enough, it was after that match that you and I watched at the Belfast Mill, Charlotte-Orlando, and it was Charlotte was coming off of losses to Atlanta, lost to Montreal. And they ended up just playing, one of the worst matches that we'd seen all season at home, at Orlando on the road. And we're at Belfast. Level Up Luke was there with us. It was a good crowd of people.
Bracket was there as well.
Yeah, Danny B, B was in the house. And it was just a rough night. It was painful. And we all wanted to leave at halftime, basically.
The best part of the night by far was playing the darts.
Yeah, exactly. And joining the chess club. The guy who was challenging people to games of chess, and he'd buy you a free beer if you want. He was really good, by the way. He was tough to beat. Yeah, I couldn't beat him. And I'm decent at chess. But that was the night where, after that night, Urso, and I saw, we saw Urso, I think, I'll double check, but I think Urso subbed in that game. And after the match was over, he was kind of like hugging his old, some of his old teammates and shooting the shit. I was like, geez, man, like this guy, does he doesn't even care. We just lost this game. But for what I was misreading that situation, because the very next match, Urso is in the starting lineup and it changed everything. Like, and you know, no shade to Jabril Diani. Jabril Diani has a really nice profile. He looks great out there. He's classy. He comes from a storied French academy. But there's something to be said that when you just need to bear down, you know, pun intended, and go for it. The MLS is like no other league. So you just turn it over to an MLS veteran. Junior Urso came into the starting lineup. He just knows how to be effective on MLS pitches. It's Urso in. It's Bronny Bro up into an attacking role. It's Pep out to the wing. I didn't love that move when I saw it on paper, but it's played out very well. So it's not just one tactical change. It's a series of tactical changes that Dean Smith made basically when we called, said the team looked boring, right? I mean, we're getting commenters who have shouted that out, and you know, like we had to be the show to do it. Like someone had to do it, and Charlotte Soccer Show is always going to call it like we see it. So, you know, I went to the press conference and said, Dean, the team just looks boring. They're a chore to watch. And that phrase, a chore to watch, was something that you said to me two nights before at Belfast Mill, that same Orlando match. So it really was kind of a show-wide initiative that we just had to do it. And credit to Dean Smith for pulling the strings. I know you love that phrase. He pulled an Urso string here. He pulled a Pep string there. He pulled a Bronny Bro string over there. And all of a sudden, Bronico is the tip of the spear. He's the best – you know, defensive attacker in the league all of a sudden, and he's going down the wing for assists. Both goals against DC, the first two goals that were scored by Pep and Patrick, and I know you love Pep and Patrick. I'll let you talk again in a minute here. But both goals came from the left wing, and I was like, oh, shit, that's a nice cross by Vargas. And then I was like, oh, that's Bronico, you know? Both times I got fooled because I was expecting that ball to come from Vargas, but it came from Bronico. Absolutely brilliant stuff. Dean Smith figured it out, and it all happened in training, and it's beautiful.
Well, hearing you say that, I'm like, he's doing it on the pitch, but he's doing it off the pitch as well, because the comment about boring, right? I think, and I don't want to, you know, dwell on this, but, you know, you brought it up, so let's just hash it out.
It's one thing to have a bad result, obviously, but it's another thing from my fans' perspective and fans I talk to and go to games with, to play boring. What's a reaction that you have to hearing that the team is just boring and it's a chore for us as fans to show up and watch this team play the way they play right now?
Well, that's the first time I've heard you say that, to be honest. So I haven't heard it. That's the first time I've heard it. Listen, that's one thing we don't want to be, that's for sure. You know, we want to be an aggressive attacking team. You need the players to be performing well to do that. But we also need to be hard to beat. We need to know where we're at as a team. When I first came in here, I told you right from the start that we needed to be a mid-block team. We haven't got the players that are going to go and open people up. Probably still are that at the moment. We need space to run into. We need grass to run into. But we need to be solid and hard to beat first and foremost.
Okay, you heard it, and you saw the people talking about it in the chat. And I'm going to go through this chronologically, like in the actual order that it happened. And you started, right? We did the show. Mm-hmm. And the show, it was a fun show, and it was a critical show, for sure, because at that time, Charlotte FC's form was dreadful. It was, like, legitimately dreadful. It was tough. It was a chore, and it was boring to watch. And all of a sudden, they play that weekend, and they win.
Yeah, 4-0 against New England.
Just a blowout 4-0 win. And that word boring surfaces again.
It will certainly boost the confidence of the players, you know, because you know, the enjoyment of playing the game is winning. You know, and winning when you've played, worked really hard and played really well. I was a little bit offended yesterday. Somebody suggested that we're boring. I'd suggest we've not been any different to when we beat Philadelphia away 2-0. We've not done anything different in training. We've not worked any difference. You know, sometimes, and I watched the Miami game against New York City before this, and it was an untidy game. And I said it takes teams a while to find the rhythm after that break.
A little bit offended. Sorry, my bad, Dean. My bad. Sorry about that, kid.
It's not even like a passing comment. It's just like a direct call out for exactly what happened during that press conference and you suggesting that was happening. And regardless of whether that was the actual catalyst, what I can talk about is what was real, what actually did happen. After that, we talked to someone who is in the front office, who works closely with Dean Smith, who called it out mentioned exactly what happened at that press conference. And so therefore, word was getting around.
It was at the Bronico party, and I was there early, and I also left early. Because I got there, because I started early, I also left early. But Zoran was there. Zoran was an early guest at the Bronico party, and I said, Z-Man, take a picture with me, man. Come on. And he goes, I don't know if Dean sees me take a picture with you. It could be trouble. It could, you know, I don't know. I don't want to get in trouble with my coach here taking a picture with you. But he took it, and you know, shout out to the Brawny party. That picture in the top left of the screen there is Zoran reluctantly taking a picture with me at Hot Fly. You can see he was much happier to be taking a picture with the Carolina Reaper, as you can see. But so he was referencing it, and then later on, we kept winning, and then we got another win. Then we get another win the next weekend, and then the week after that, it's the season ticket member meet the team event, the autograph session, where they set up all the tables inside the bowels of Bank of America Stadium, let everyone go in and stand in line and meet players for autographs. I went straight to Dean's table, and I said I got to apologize to Dino for calling him boring. I think I walked to him and I said, what, Dino, you guys could only score 4 goals against New England? I was looking for a little more than that, buddy. But that was a great event. Got my picture made with Dean. He told me it was all good. Dean said he and I are good now, so there's no beef, even though he was a little offended. And again, I just want to say for the record on mic, like, I am so honored, and like, I'm vain enough to like really love it when I see commenters and people that listen to the show and friends of ours that say, oh, Danny Brams did it. Danny Brams called out the boring and he turned the team around. Danny's a hero. Like, I don't dislike hearing that. It's great. But I have to say that it's not some great, crazy idea that I independently came up with myself. It's the conversation that you and I had at Belfast Mill during that Orlando match, which now we're getting ready to play Orlando again. But I was literally just relaying the conversation amongst friends that you and I and Luke and Danny Brackets had all had. So it's all of our collective success. And I stand on the shoulders of giants if I've achieved anything. And like I said, I love to hear, oh, Danny did it, but I didn't do anything by myself. We're all in this together. And I trust me, I'm sure I just happened to have the link to the Dean Zoom presser that I was able to jump on there and talk to him. I'm sure dozens and even hundreds of Charlotte FC fans would have done the same exact thing if they'd had the chance to address Dean that way. You know, maybe I have a little bit of a, you know, don't give an F attitude about me enough to actually do it. But all I want to say is it's a team effort. And I think you were the inspiration, to be perfectly honest, Johnny.
Well, there's two things that you mentioned. You mentioned the 4-0 win over New England, which is incredible. You mentioned Patrick Alzheimer and Pep Bial and that combination that those two have. So let's just take a minute to kind of move into that next discussion, but first enjoy how those two players helped change Charlotte FC's season after that press conference and that performance. Nice.
Forward from East Hartford, Connecticut, to Bial! Bullseye! Bial. Ajiman's in. Patrick Ajiman!
So damn sweet.
It's Pep and Pat's world, Danny Brams, and we are so lucky to be on this ride. Mm-hmm. These two players have completely transformed Charlotte FC's 2024 season. It's been brilliant to see a striker and a number 10 who plays on the right wing, who finds himself in the pockets.
And those were their those were their combinations against New England, which I love Neil Sika. I've become a I'm a Neil Sika stan, I think. But like, he's a guy I didn't really know, was not familiar with his game before the season, but he came on the show, and now I love hearing him call games. He missed an opportunity there because he goes, bullseye. And it's like, dude, Bielzai was right there. You missed Bielzai. Like, give me a break, Neil. But then they both get goals assisted from Bronico in the DC closer that Pep's been freaking amazing. Pep and Carroll combined for that beautiful goal, like those kind of the Jack Wilshere-esque goal where they pop, you know, Carroll to Pep. Pep pops it over the top to Carroll. Carroll continues the run. That was beautiful against Chicago. That was very necessary because we had some defensive lapses against Chicago. All four of those goals we scored against them mattered. And I know that the first thing you said, I remember when Pep joined the team, was, I love a silky Spanish midfielder. You were like, I love a silky Spanish midfielder. And you made it happen in terms of believing in Pep. And I think, is there even a question in your mind that we sign Pep? Because he's technically on loan. Do you think Pep, the paperwork gets done here? Do you think we have to get a win in the playoffs to do it? Or has he done enough to say we're bringing him in?
I think we've definitely left a positive impression on the player, for sure. I think if he could see his future in town, but it's up to him and the agent and the dollars and the cents and what that looks like. Because the reason why I felt so confident in saying I like a silky Spanish number 10 is because I respected the club that he came from.
Yeah,
I respect Olympiacos. I respect the club in a big way. It's a Champions League club. It's a Europa League club. It's one of the better clubs in all of Europe. And this guy was on the roster. And before that, has had success as well.
I mean, so the Wizard of Copenhagen, you know, he was great in the Danish league as well. Yeah,
exactly. So those two things kind of, they added up to me in a way that was like, okay, yes, we've seen this story before about Charlotte FC signing players, but maybe not somebody in that category. I think Ashley Westwood is the closest thing that Charlotte FC has signed in the midfield to a Pep Bial.
Yeah.
I think when you look back,
he just doesn't want to do it. Ashley wants to stay back and run all over the place. He actually
could be. I'm not even talking about I'm not talking about from a player point of view, like tactically what position they play in the midfield. I mean, a player that has credibility with a respectable and reputable club.
A pedigree, if you will.
Yes, and Pep Bial has that. His resume showed exactly that. And there were some other players that I think that came in. I think the list of players? It'd be kind of fun to go over a list of midfield players that were brought in. Of course, Charlotte drafted Ben Bender.
Yeah,
Nuno Santos
from the Benfica Academy. Yeah, yep.
Came in as well.
Diagra came in from Toulouse, right? I think captain of a French Cup winning side, Toulouse.
My favorite thing about the Diagra signing, and you didn't see this happen at Olympiacos with Bial, is with the Diagra signing. And that's correct. Tadzi, DNC, Pep is the guy that Breck was supposed to be. That's exactly right. And what you didn't see with, Breck Diagra, and what you saw with Pep Bial was just something that was different, right? It was a guy that's been there. He's done that, Danny.
Yeah. Breck, remember, you don't want to read too much into this, but I remember when Breck came, all the fans of his former club were like, hey, Brecht, go have fun in America. You know, thanks for everything. You go have a good time. When Pep came, Olympiacos fans were like, what the fuck? Like, how are we letting this guy go? Why is we're letting this guy go to the America? Like, he's a key part of our team. So, you know, fan reactions like that can be overrated and read a little.
No, I think it's important. I think it's important. Yeah. It does matter. Yeah. It does matter. And I think the point what I was trying to say was – and you helped me get back on track, was that Toulouse rolled out the red carpet.
Yeah, yeah. They're just like,
they literally had a parade for Brett, and they knew that it was his time. So in that case, Charlotte FC was really a true old school MLS destination. Hey, go set yourself out to pasture.
Yeah, exactly.
And do nothing in MLS.
Right? I love the phrase that some of these European clubs use is his American adventure. He's gone on his American adventure. You know, like whenever you see that phrase, you know you're getting someone who's like one step away from washed up. So unfortunately, yeah.
Right. I think what helped in Ashley Westwood's case is that he was injured and had something to prove.
Yes.
Right. That it was not an American adventure because his career was coming to an end. It was an American adventure and a player that wanted a second start, that needed a second start because of an injury that was, you know, potentially career ending. And Ashley Westwood deserves some flowers on the show as well. Danny, let's just hand out some flowers right now. It's a top five finish. Charlotte FC is a team that is clearly the best professional sports team in Charlotte. Let's say that, right? It's a team that is setting a new standard in town and a team that has helped grow not just soccer, but sports in general in the city. So let's just hand out some flowers. Right? Ashley Westwood deserves some flowers. Christian Kalina deserves some flowers as well. Andrew Privet, somebody that deserves the flowers. Brant Bronico, just the whole team. This is why I just can envision the bus, the parade route, just kind of and all these guys who really actually made it happen and made a difference in this town as far as winning is concerned. This group kind of deserves it a little bit.
Yeah, I think the flowers, and I when I was talking about Dean's tactical shifts earlier, and I mentioned Urso, Bronico, Pep, I forgot one of the most important ones of all, which is play Privet and win. Like bringing Privet back in to repartner with Milanda after three straight losses, moving Ream out to left wing. And we love Yara Yurinen. He's in the show tease. His mantra of playing with a smile on your lips is something like we pod with a smile on our lips, you know, in recognition of Yara's great attitude. But you know, it just, we had to get Privet in somewhere, and Ream's pedigree demands that he plays as well. And it just has worked out that unfortunately Yere's had to go to the bench. But I did like to say Yere was the first sub to come in against DC. He has not been forgotten. He has a role to play in this season. He's a valued member of the team. But that is another key change that Dean Smith made with the formation and tactics, moving Ream to left back. So give Privet his flowers. Give Dino his flowers. I got so many flowers to give here. But I got it. While I'm here, I might as well own a little bit, because I was probably the most – of all the people in the Charlotte FC scene who like talk about the team, I was probably the most down on the Ream signing. I was the one who was the most skeptical and the most like, do we really need Tim Ream? I don't know about Tim Ream. He's only coming. I was like, he's just coming here to retire. He chose it because his family liked the schools. He doesn't really want to be part of the project. I mean, this is stuff that I said. I got to own it. I got to eat that. And Ream has been very valuable. Ream has demanded to be on the pitch. He somehow has stayed in the U.S. men's national picture through a coaching change. He's been taking these international breaks with the Yanks. And he looks pretty good out there for a 36-year-old left back, in one of the, you know, the most wide open leagues in the world. He's not looking bad, I got to say. So I give Tim Ream his flowers as well.
Leave it to me to just kind of raise the red flag and say, well, that's what I'm concerned about the rest of the way. But for now,
we got Yere. If Yere needs to come back in, we got Yere, you know?
Yes. Because now it's the time when you're going to play the best teams in the league. You know, Charlotte FC beat up on some truly inferior opponents as the season came to an end, and the win against DC when DC was playing for everything this past Saturday kind of proved that it wasn't a fluke.
Yeah, agreed. And that was a win that we didn't necessarily need to get, but that was like the killer instinct win. That was like the, you don't need this game, but you can go to DC's place, win for the first time ever in franchise history there, and knock them out of the playoffs, which they did, which Charlotte did. So like, that's like the FU win that like, it's, you love to see your team embody that spirit of like, it doesn't matter if we need to win it or not. We're going to go win because you're our opponent on this day, and we're going to make your life hell, and we're going to ruin your postseason dreams. for shits and giggles. You know, it was great. Like that's the character you want this team to have for sure.
It gets me fired up hearing you talk that way.
FUDC. Yeah.
Just because that's what we want. That's what we've been, you know, banging the drum for years on this show. Mm-hmm. At this point, is this type of finish and this type of finish to the season is what I'm trying to say. Is Charlotte FC finishes a top five finisher in the East. Right. I believe it's 11th. Is it 11th overall in the MLS table?
I'll double check that. I do know that we got 13 out of the last 15 points available, which is absolutely tremendous. It is 11th in the table, 1 point ahead of Colorado and 1 point behind Minnesota. So as far as our Western counterparts. And Minnesota, I mean, Minnesota, they're the team that made us look pretty bad when we were in kind of a doldrum part of the season. But I thought it was great.
Let me just jump in with this, because there's only, I believe it's 4 or 5 teams in MLS who have not lost in its last five.
Yeah.
Charlotte FC is on that list.
Yep.
Minnesota is on that list. Minnesota. Seattle is on that list. Salt Lake is on that list. Los Angeles and Inter Miami.
Yep, that's a good list. That's good company.
That's what teams are heading into MLS playoffs with some momentum. And for what it's worth, Orlando does have 3 wins in the last 5, 3-2 in the last 5 played for Orlando. This team is beatable, and you saw that over the weekend.
Yeah, they finished with an L on their last game, which is great because they were one of the hotter teams coming in. I was on record as saying I would rather be the 6th seed and face Cincinnati than be the 5 and face Orlando. And part of that was because, you know, if you're in the 4-5 game, then a second round matchup against Miami is looming, which I would have wanted to avoid. But whatever, you can't pick your opponent. You just got to go out there and win on the day. I think Dean Smith did a good job of instilling that attitude in the team. And not trying to like get cute with like, oh, we're trying to manipulate our seed or whatever. That's for fans like me to talk about. That's not for players or coaches to dwell on. And in the end, whether you face Cincy in the first round, Orlando in the first round, whether you face Miami in the semis or the conference final, you're going to have to beat everybody that's put in front of you eventually. So you might as well just be playing well and scoring a bunch of goals and getting clean sheets.
And let's not get ahead of ourselves, but it's pretty clear here that a first round upset win could potentially set the table for a matchup with Inter Miami.
I mean, we handled them pretty nicely, you know, a few weeks back. They, of the 5 final games where Charlotte FC won 4 of them, they got the draw against Miami. It was the 5th game in that stretch. So, and we had the lead. You know, Karis Rodersky put Charlotte FC on top before Miami was finally able to equalize. And they put on a huge press. Miami tried like hell to win that game at the end. The refs helped him with some extra time, if you will. But I'm not going to get ahead of myself. I'm mostly thinking about this matchup with Orlando. I'm worried about, you know, Facundo Torres, what he's bringing to the table, because he destroyed Charlotte FC.
The saga of Duncan Maguire hasn't ended either. He's ended up right here with us.
Duncan freaking donuts. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, who would have thought supposedly he's not going to get to go on his European adventure. He's actually re-upped with Orlando to stay with them for a few years now. So it does help that Orlando's loss also was to Atlanta. That, I think, should give us Atlanta's a team we know well. Orlando's a team we know well. Dean should be able to sort of come up with some tactics there as far as like how to best set the team up against Orlando. Having seen them look so recently and look so bad against them, like there's a really good chance to bounce back. And I should say, I mentioned off the top of the show that we're recording this opposite the Atlanta-Montreal wildcard game, and Atlanta's actually leading in that game. I got a score update. I believe Brooks Lennon scored the goal. I just was watching out of the corner of my eye. Atlanta up 1-0 with about 4 minutes left in the half, and Montreal not looking good. So very interesting there. It'd be funny to see if Atlanta could go on. What if Atlanta beats Miami? What if Atlanta wins this game? Atlanta backdoors in the playoffs thanks to us, beats Montreal, goes and somehow beats Miami, and then all of a sudden we're hosting, and we beat Orlando, we're hosting the second round against the Five Stripes. How great would that be?
Well, that would be cool. Minus the fact that Atlanta would have beaten Inter Miami in that first round. I don't want Atlanta to have that.
Yeah. That's not going to happen. Across three games, I think Atlanta could probably beat Miami once, maybe, in a one-game scenario, but I don't think they're going to win a three-game series against them.
Right.
So. I don't know. I'm actually cheering for Montreal to come back and win this game in the second half because I hate Atlanta. Let's just be real about
that. That makes more sense. Now I think we're on the same page for sure.
We got to worry about Orlando. Again, I just literally said we can't be cutesy about trying to forecast opponents or pick our poison or anything like that. You just got to show up when there's a match. You got to show up on match day. You got to get fitted. You got to walk into the stadium. You got to get your picture taken by the social team. And then you got to get ready to go win, no matter who the opponent is.
It's MLS playoffs time. Charlotte FC is in the playoffs. That, in general, I think makes us happy. The entire season has been a success, and I think we're gonna ultimately do a season recap show. But I think it was important tonight to celebrate the end of the regular season to just acknowledge that it is over. And in year one, Charlotte FC's season culminated at this moment. It did not go on to play in the playoffs. Year two, the club finishes in the play-in match, loses that match on the road to the Red Bulls. Now year three, it's a fifth place finish, and it's a three-game series. So what you're seeing there is, like, if you're into trading stocks, Danny, what you see there is what? Yeah, maybe a little trend. You might want to hop on board here.
I'll borrow something from the college football world. Kirby Smart in their big win over Texas this past weekend, his locker room speech kind of went viral. He's like, this jet just took off. He's like, this jet just took off, and our defenses get better, our offenses get better, and we're rising, baby. We're going up. So, yeah, I applied the same thing to Charlotte FC. Atlanta up 2-0 here now right before halftime, so it's looking good for them. I just think that this is a fun team. It's become decidedly not boring. It's a really great team to watch. And I think we can beat Orlando. I'm less scared of Orlando than I was a while ago. We did get one comment from great commenter Lad on Fire who said the Arfield red card against Orlando was the difference between us being the 4 and the 5 seed, potentially hosting games 1 and 3 in this series instead of just game 2. I remember that. I think we were watching that game from your seats, Johnny. The Arfield red, the Orlando. This was way back in June, like before Leagues Cup, like June 19th, and we ended up in a draw. Yep. And that was where we had the lead.
By the way, right? Scott Arfield, we missed Scott Arfield on the list of midfielders earlier.
Yeah. Well, he had a rough back, you know. Arfield had a bad back, you know. We had to send him back. Yeah.
Totally forgot Scotty on our list of the band of misfit midfield toys that Charlotte FC has accumulated over this first 3 years. Finally hits the nail on the head with Pepe Al, gets him in the club. Yeah. But I cannot believe we forgot about Arfield on that list.
The band of misfit toys, as it were, for sure. We'll go back. You know, we used to do so many more Game of Thrones references on this show, but that's Game of Thrones has kind of faded, you know, from the cultural memory, so we don't do it as much. But many princes who were promised came through that door, and finally Pep was the one who actually might have fit the bill, so that's good.
Another commenter here, I appreciate this long comment, you know, put some thought into it. Look at this. I'm afraid that the team, this is Thomas Hare, he says, I'm afraid that the team will subconsciously look past game one because they're excited for the home playoff game that Friday night. Get caught off guard by Orlando's intensity on the road and dig themselves a hole. What say you to that comment, Danny?
I got one thing to say to that, and I think you know what it is. It's a four-word phrase that has served me well all year. Dino's at the freaking wheel. So that's actually made – I added the F word to make it 5. But Dean's not going to let that happen. I appreciate a long, thoughtful comment. Thanks to Thomas Hare for chiming in. And thanks to everybody who's been chiming in. But I think Dino will have the team ready to go. I think this team might come out – you know, forgive me for indulging in a little bit of fantasy here. But I just think they might come out and just blitz these guys and just be up like 1-2-0 at half and just – just I don't know if Orlando knows what it's in for. Charlotte FC right now is playing. Because this whole time I've been like, Orlando's hot. Orlando's hot. They're one of the hotter teams at the end of the year. We don't want to face them. And I was completely neglecting the fact that we are the freaking hottest team. They don't want to face us. I was forgetting that, and I don't think Dean is going to let the boys forget that. I think we're going to go in there with a predator mentality, not trying to defend anything. I think it's go in and step on some necks, you know, to cut some Achilles tendons, just do whatever needs to do. So you said in 2022 our season was over at this point, and in 2023 we made the play-in. But in 2023 our season was over at this point also, because it was just about halftime of the play game, and we were down 3-0 to New York Red Bulls with like no chance of coming back. So, you know, what can I say? I think it's going to be a little bit better this year. I don't think Dino is going to let the boys pull it to Latanzio and just be happy to be there.
So let's do it. Let's just predict what happens. We're at the end of the show here, and I might as well put something on record. I know it's clear how you feel. I think that you're going to predict. You go ahead. I think I know what you're going to predict.
I'm going to predict a 3-1 win.
And then a series win.
A series, yeah. For game one, I predict we a 3-1, comfortable 3-1, where we go in and take an early lead and maybe concede one late as like a pullback for Orlando, but we're never in any trouble. And then I actually think it'll be harder to step up to the pressure of that first home playoff match. I think that, to be honest, I think that game has more of a chance of sort of weighing heavy on the players' heads and sort of getting them out of their rhythm. And I don't think it necessarily will, but I would say that I say the team has an attitude and a character that is strong on the road now, where it used to be such a weakness for Charlotte FC. I think the road character is actually really strong now under Dean Smith. And I think the home match is more dangerous in terms of feeling the weight of expectation and pressure and the upper bowl being sold out, and just because it would go back almost to that, those early days of like the first ever club match against LA Galaxy when they opened up Bank of America Stadium to soccer, and the team played really tight back then and things like that. So I'm not saying that will happen. I think we win the series in two games, comfortably in game one on the road and a little more nervous at home in game two.
Bold predictions from Danny Brams here on Charlotte Soccer Show. That's why you come here to listen to us chat about the club, and because sometimes you got to feel the vibes. And there's a lot of people that, by the way, agree with you. 3-0, Brandon Davis says.
Love you, Brandon.
And you see Luke as well. 1-0 Charlotte game one. It feels like they're going to get the win. For me specifically, I think that this club has PKs in its near future. I think that everybody should be ready for some squeaky bum time.
Squeaky bum time. Clench those cheeks.
I think that things are going to get nervy really quickly in this series. I think that Sunday night is going to escalate quickly, and I think that Charlotte FC might find itself in a knockout PK situation, straight to PK after 90. I could see a 1-1 in Orlando. I could see that for sure. A 1-1 in Orlando.
The reason I like that, and I think that is a very insightful read on the situation, is what do we know about Dean Smith? He's pragmatic. For all the talk about, you know, the anti-boring and the turnaround and how we're scoring so much more goals and, you know, with the tactical changes. In Dean's response, he said, we still need to be a team that plays the low block, the mid block. He's pragmatic above all else. And when he knows that if you don't concede, you can't lose in regular time, and go to let PKs fall where they may, he could go for that.
Especially because you're talking about the potential Golden Gloves winner and net for you in that situation. Although Orlando has a pretty strong goalkeeper as well, don't they, Danny?
They got El Pulpo, Pedro Gallese, for sure. Yeah, he's the Peruvian national team goalkeeper who's, you know, he's had a little bit more of injury concern this year than he has had in years past, but he's still a very good goalkeeper, and he's someone who has come up big against us in the past. So, yeah, he could have a part to play. But Kalina is still – I mean, Kalina is the goalkeeper in this matchup. As good as Gayese is, I like him. Kalina is the goalkeeper of the year in MLS, and it's not even close for sure.
As far as the series is concerned, I think I'm going to go with Charlotte FC in three.
Okay.
I think I'm going to go with – because I think that there's a chance that they lose the shootout on Sunday and come back home and smash Orlando and then have to go to their place and get the win to win the series. Like, and I think it's that's just like, a possibility.
Damn, the Torpedoes full speed ahead in a game three situation. Yeah, I get that for sure.
So I think and so that is to say whether Charlotte FC wins or loses on Sunday, I think that – it doesn't matter what happens because the club has the opportunity to pick up momentum at home, play really well, go back down to Orlando. The only thing that I'm concerned about is that match is, I think, like 7 or 8 days later, that game three from game – I think it's 8 days after game two to game three. I don't love that break. But then again, if it's a close game – I think we might be on Sunday night be thinking to ourselves – damn, we should have won that match.
Right. I could see that.
A tough road match against a good team. Charlotte FC plays well, doesn't quite get it done. Come home, get the win. Charlotte FC in three. That's basically my prediction for the series, whether that happens or not. Who cares? What we hope to see is a win on Sunday and a win on Friday, and this team just goes on and gets to the next round.
One thing I've learned this year, John, and I've in previous years, and if I was good at predicting what's going to happen, then I would just be a professional gambler and I would just make my living, you know, making money off predicting things that are going to happen. I'm better off just reacting to and analyzing things that we know have had happen and trying to be insightful and entertaining about reality and things that happen. So I don't put too much weight on my predictions. I'm happy to throw them out there for what I think might happen. But like, if my predictions don't come true, I don't care. I just want to win and have fun and go to a playoff game. I guess it hasn't been fully confirmed. We got some commenters who were pointing out that I've been like, oh, upper bowl. But I guess it hasn't been fully confirmed that the upper bowl is open, not publicly. I just kind of assumed that it would be or expected it to be. I imagine there's going to be some upper bowl tickets, but we are getting closer. So I guess we need to wait for some official word on that.
Well, I guess it sounds like you've got some homework, Danny, going home to figure out whether the upper bowl is open. I know somebody that you could ask pretty quickly.
I will be. I'll find out. And I'm also Dean Smith is doing a press availability on Friday. We're doing this on a Tuesday night, so I will be talking to Dean on Friday. I'll be in the room while a bunch of people talk to Dean. Let's be honest about what it is. But I guess we could crowdsource. People hit us up on socials. And what should we ask Dean now? You know, what comment do we need to get throw at Dean for this next press conference to really inspire a playoff run? So who knows?
Maybe you should ask him like, hey, Dean, yeah, some people are saying that your sideline style is a little bit conservative.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you have in store for the playoffs here? You bring us somebody. Who knows how good he'll look on the touchline come Sunday night in Orlando. He might look sharp with a brand new suit. You know, I know some people have seen him down at South Park Mall shopping in the high end men's clothiers, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, the polo shirts and chinos on the sidelines, bro. What, come on. This is the playoffs. You got to come big here, bro.
He'll have a nice pair of shoes. I can picture Dino on the touchline. Whether it's Sunday in Orlando or Friday night here in town, I think you're going to see some really fancy cleaned black shoes down there on the sideline. Let me put it that way.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I can't wait. I mean, the season, it's been a wild season. We talked about, as we wrap the show up, we talked about how it's been so long. Like, this is year three in MLS. We've been doing this show almost year round since the club started in January of 2022. And it's a grind, man. It takes forever. And so much shit has happened this year in 2024 to both of us, from personal life to family life to job life to show life to, you know, it has been a wild and busy year. And I'll be honest, I have missed more games this year than ever before. I missed zero games in 2022. I missed one game in 2023. I think I've missed like four home games this year because I've just had stuff going on. I've had stuff I needed to take care of. But I cannot fucking wait till Friday, November 1st. November's my favorite month. It's my birthday month. What'd y'all get me? I need to, you know, November 28th, hook me up. Still got time to go shopping for old Danny.
Plenty Brands of time, here, Danny. You're already out there asking for gifts a month ahead of your birthday.
A month and a 5 weeks ahead of my birthday. But I just say that to say that November's my favorite month because it's my birthday month. So November 1st, first home playoff game. Been a long year. I've missed some games. I haven't been as present at the fortress as I wanted to be. I'm not manning the turrets. I'm not out there on the parapets. I don't have my longbow as much as I should have this year, but I'm going to be all of those places with all that gear on Friday. I'm going to go nuts. I'm going to be kicked out of Hot Fly again like I was at the Brawny Bro party. I'm going to be having a grand old time, and I cannot fucking wait.
You weren't kicked out. You were politely asked. Right. To leave, which
I was told it was time to go. Yeah.
The vibes are good for the Friday night match. There's no doubt about that. I think it's your favorite month. It's All Saints Day as well.
Oh,
that's a good vibe.
Every damn one of those Saints, man. Every damn one of those Saints for sure. I wonder if there'll be a Halloween vibe. Do you think people will come in costume?
I think there will be a little bit of a carryover for sure. I think you might see a lot of some face paint, some good times, and let's just call it this. It's going to be a Friday night in Charlotte. It is going to be an absolute party. When you think about the club's mantra, let's party.
Yeah.
And it's been that for come join the party. Like, this is probably the most exclusive party that the club has thrown yet.
Yeah.
Aside from the opening game. Right. I would say that this game ranks behind only the Inter-Miami game with Messi and the home opener, the first ever inaugural match. The Columbus match was close, but that was for like diehards that showed up for that one. It was fun, but it was a really diehard match. It wasn't a party.
You're talking about the rematch?
When we played 75 minutes. Yeah, that game was awesome. That was really fun, but that was like a really deep cut match on like a Sunday. It wasn't a party.
Good point. Yeah.
This is a party. This is a Friday night, absolute. Rip the stadium down, go as hard as you possibly can, and just enjoy what should be one of the rowdiest atmospheres in MLS. It will be the rowdiest atmosphere in MLS.
I'm not saying that I'm going to dress up for Friday, November 1st, because I'm not the biggest Halloween guy. I've had some memorable Halloween costumes in the past, but if I do dress up, it's most likely going to be dressing as the Keeper of the Flame, the knight who comes out and like lights that torch at the beginning of the Charlotte FC matches. I might just get a full suit of armor and show up at the fortress for sure. But we got to do something Sunday too. I know the club is having an official watch party. I might be a little more inclined to kind of bunker down with a small crew for that Sunday match, just because it could go a lot of different ways. I don't know if I'm safe to be amongst a huge crowd on Sunday, but because I'm planning to on the Friday, so I don't know. You tell me. We'll figure something out.
We'll have a good time with it, and for sure, I appreciate everybody hanging out here for the show. It's been a really fun show. It's been a great show. It's Charlotte Soccer Show. Make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening, wherever you're watching. If you're watching live, make sure you hit that subscribe button on YouTube. If you're listening on Apple, on Spotify, drop us a rating, give us a review, tell us why you want Charlotte Soccer Show back in 2025, because it's that time of the year where we start thinking about next season as well. And what Charlotte Soccer Show looks like in 2025. So the more support we get from our audience, from the people that love this show, the easier it is for us to accomplish our goals in 2025. But Danny Brams, you've done well with your Malbec this evening. It's a nice red. It's treated you well. And I'll see you soon. But until then,
for the crown, baby.